irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Abracadabra, Create What You Speak, with Ilan Azulay, only on LA Talk Radio.
Shalom. We are here again. It is Sunday, and this week, my name is Ilan, and this week, this past week, is a very, significant a day in the Jewish calendar and history. This week, also, the Torah portion really discusses. Shows us, gives us tools to our daily practices and how it all ties into this week. And interesting enough, that all astrological events and other events in history happens according to Jewish calendar with different events. So it's quite interesting. Well. But first, I want to start with Ve'ahavta le'reacha kamocha, love your fellow as you love yourself, and I hereby accept the due command of love my fellow as I love myself. And the focus first is to come to our place of wholeness, and it's an ongoing process, but within that moment in time of our place of our wholeness, where we can experience our moment, we're going to experience different moments of joy, and we'll talk about that a little bit later. Then I can express the same expression as I express myself to the other near me. And so today is the 9th of Av. Well, yesterday actually was the 9th of Av, but it was a Saturday, a Sabbath, so the fasting moved a day later. Well, really, what it is about the destruction of the Jewish temples, both pretty much in the same week. The temple destruction, the first one was in Babylon, and then the second one was by the Romans, and both of these destructions of the temples continued with exile, with an exile. The first one was 7 years in Babylon, and then the second exile after the Roman time was about over 1800 years, like 1878 years until. Until the establishment of the State of Israel in 1948. And so while all these destructions were happening, while it is on the physical level, appears, right? That's the story, that's the history. But the sages are teaching us, and this is what we've been talking all along, and is what is the evolution of consciousness is bringing us to see, is really our insides, ourselves, looking remembering where we come from and what happened that took us to different places and quote unquote crushed us. So we look at this is really a time of reflection. So yeah, okay, there is the story of to commemorate and to memorize the events and the history. And to keep it on to the next generations, and the spiritual aspect of it is really to look at our own journey, and how did we get to where we got to? This has been a quite interesting week because it was also a reflection week for me and. And if you've been in this place of reflection, then call and share how your evolution from the place of reflection to a place of manifestation happened, or is it in the process? What are you experiencing between you and yourself, between you and others? 818-6024-929. And so, because this is really a day about the destruction of the temples and Jerusalem is the capital of Israel and how Jews were expelled so many times and had so many well, I forgot the word in English, so I'll move on to another sentence. But yeah, I want to keep this today really as a reflection into ourselves. How did we get here? What got us to where we are reflecting and seeing what doesn't work for us in our lives? How do we reclaim our power? How do we reclaim our power from a place of being crushed to a place of acceptance, to experiencing moments of joy? And as scientists describe, joy is different intense moments of happiness or fulfillment, more correctly. So joy is not a constant, one long constant state, but it is combined from different moments, from different moments in time, moments of awe. Yeah, one of my teachers used a sentence, and he said, creating moments of awe that engender love to self, other, and the world. And that was really hard at that time, difficult to comprehend, because of I was in the midst of my own destruction, of my own coming to a place of accepting, learning to accept where I was and the shifts that were about to come, but I couldn't see that at that time. And that what happens many times. We're going through these situations in our lives that it's hard to see beyond that place of pain, that place of rejection, that place of judgment. Whether we are rejecting ourselves, judging ourselves, but sometimes it is hard to see beyond that. And so it's coming to, is looking into our place of destruction, knowing where we come from, in the sense of not necessarily, oh, I come from Israel, or you come from China, or wherever. That's okay, that's a story. But really inside, what made you who you are today? The experiences and these different moments of joy, or what perceives to be sadness, or being angry. You know, many times when we go through different emotions, say, oh, I'm angry. If you get angry, say, I'm angry. Or, no, but those are really experiences. You experience anger. You're not anger. Because 10 minutes later, you're not angry. So, does that mean that you are an angry person? But if you continue to inhabit this place of any emotion, I just picked anger because it is so common when we are immersed in this reality of materialism. Everything is so intense, and when we don't pay attention, we are subjected to our emotions. So you're experiencing. So you're collecting these moments. You're collecting these moments and you bring them together. So when we have like if we look back at the movement of everything, everything has a nucleus, and around it there are electrons that are speeding up really crazy, that create the illusion of a solid state. But if it stops or you take them out, these electrons, everything will fall apart. So it's the same thing with the moments. We are this nucleus. We are this nucleus of light. We are this nucleus of joy. We are this nucleus of love. And we have these electrons that we attract to ourselves. We are like magnets. So we attract these electrons to us. And whatever we are inhabiting, whatever space we are inhabiting, we attract these moments and these and people that with similar energies to us, and they spin around us. And they spin around us, and soon enough we think that we are these emotions that are spinning around us. But that's not the case, you see. We're not these emotions, we're this nucleus of love and light. And when we are accepting of ourselves, and when we see ourselves in this, in nothing else but light and giving, then what surrounds us, we are not identifying with it. So we are not angry. We are experiencing anger. Those are all these negative emotions. So if you say, well, I experience joy, so I'm not joy. Well, that's a good question. I asked the question, and now I have to give the answer on that question. Well, we are. So there are these two states that we can be in, or emotions. So joy is not necessarily an emotion. It's not an emotion. It's a state. It's a place of being. It's a place of being because of certain actions, or because of certain thoughts, or because of certain words that we speak. So when we are in this place of acceptance, when we are in this place of recognizing all that we can and all that we are and all the possibilities that we can, then we are in a state of joy. And it's hard because we are going through these daily activities and whatnot, and if we are identifying only with what's happening outside of us, this person made me upset, or this guy cut me on the road, or those kind of things, then the moments that we are experiencing of joy, if and when we're experiencing them, are very momentarily and very short, and are really coming from a place that is not your true self. Like if I'm going to buy this 50-inch screen TV or car, and I wanted it for so long, and now I'm just about to get it. Well, I'm just about to get it, and this is going to make me happy, and then I get it, and a week, 2 weeks, I'm sitting in this brand new dandy car, and then okay, so that's because the definition of what will make me happy or what will make you happy comes from something that is external, something that is outside of you. It's similar to when somebody says, well, you make me happy, or you make me sad, or you piss me off, or you make me angry, or all these kind of things. Putting the emphasis on the you make me, but nobody really can make you. And if somebody tells you to jump off a 20-story building, will you? So nobody can make you do anything. It is how we grow up, and it is how we are perceiving everything, and the stories that we are born into, and whether we follow, or whether we lead, or whether we just are subjected to somebody else's power, egoic power that is, then we believe that we don't have a choice many times. We always have a choice, just the choices are too, sometimes too harsh or too hard to comprehend at that moment. And so when we are experiencing this, when we are doing this process of reflection, of going into our shadows, or going into the places that we don't want to associate them with us, and accept them, then we are experiencing a continuous moments of joy in anything that we do. See, so anything, whatever we do or how we feel is going to produce these moments. If I'm in a negative energy, it won't come as often or at all. But understanding that our thoughts, not us thoughts, the thoughts that belong to us, but are not us really, that our thoughts and our words, the weight of our words, the weight of what we say, the weight of how we say things, that is going to cultivate your space, how you are within yourself, and how you are within yourself is going to be projected outside. You know, I love taking pictures. I love taking photos. I take different photos and different and videos and shoot shows and I love shooting people with a camera, that is, right? Because you see, and I don't like to do Photoshop or any of these things. I mean, maybe a little lighting here. I like to underexpose the picture so I can raise the light a little bit. But really, that's it. No filters, no anything. Just what you see is what you get. Because, you see, pictures don't only capture a specific moment in... Well, they capture a specific moment in time, but not only. I see it as capturing the entire expression of that person in that moment in time. These moments that we're talking about, creating different moments, moments of awe and beauty, to engender love, to look at ourselves and to say, also if I'm not happy or not, I don't like the space that I'm in, it's okay, but that's where I'm at. That's why I like keeping pictures from all different times, because the picture doesn't capture only the physical moment in time, because it really it's not physical anymore of that moment in time. But it captures also the essence, also the energy that the person emits through the image. The essence of that person at that moment in time, how did that person see themselves? How did that person feel? They may smile, but really, what are they omitting outside? And I love that because I can see that in pictures. I can see that in pictures of a person. What is that person omitting? And that is priceless. So many times when I used to take many times pictures of when I would travel, just of landscape, and yes, it's beautiful, and it's wonderful. But if you take the images of landscapes that you took versus pictures of other humanoids, which one has more weight to that? I'm willing to bet that there is more weight to the picture with the image with the person, because that will bring you to remember what happened at that moment, to remember where you were at that moment, to keep reminding you not to dwell on these things, but to keep reminding you where you were and where you are now. Where you were at that time. How did you feel? What expression did you have? And where are you now? And to see the growth that maybe you don't feel it today, but if you have a point of reference, you can look at it and say, wow, how much did I grow from here to here? So this moment is this time today is a moment of a time of reflection and looking into ourselves and the experiences that we had, and especially, just like with the images, especially with others that we cared for, the others that we, that appeared that we didn't care for, because also those that we so-called didn't care for, we did care for. Otherwise, they wouldn't occupy our space at any moment in time. And so looking at that and looking at how was I in this relationship? What was my quote-unquote contribution to that relationship? Whether it is somebody that you had an intimate relationship or somebody that you had just any kind of a relationship. But we tend to be more in our more meaningful relationships. And that's also the key. That is why those images and the energies and the expression of who we are and where we were at that time, these are meaningful. And what's the meaning of life? To create meaning. So we're here to create meaning. What is meaningful to us? And we make things meaningful to us because we are tied to them, we are attached to them, we're bonded to them. Whether it is a positive or a negative, it is still meaningful. We have the tendency to say meaningful, meaning that it's important to me on a positive level. But sometimes also those relationships or those meaningful relationships or meaningful moments that happened in time, they're all meaningful to us. They're all in different aspects. Also if they were negative, or also if they were not contributing to your own growth, what works for you or what doesn't work for you, they're still meaningful. That's why that's when we talk about jealousy in relationships. It's a very tough place to be in. Unfortunately, it's also very common. And when I say jealousy, it's not necessarily jealousy of... it's all kind of jealousy. It could be competitiveness. I talked about this in the previous program. It could be competitiveness between relationships between couples. And that comes from jealousy. That comes from a place that is not healed in ourselves, and that other person triggers, and then that creates a whole snowball of self-doubt that is being projected on the other person. So, for example, if somebody is not happy where they are, with their doing, with their creation, with their producing, with their manifesting, and they are with somebody who starts manifesting or is a manifestor of things in daily life to create things, then the first person A is not happy about their state, not happy about themselves, not happy about what they create or the lack thereof. And suddenly there is this jealousy that comes up, that is, well, why does this person have that? I want that too. And this is the negative side of the jealousy. Everything, every word in Hebrew or in English is two. We're in this duality world. Yes, we are. We aim to eventually come back to the one, but we are in the duality. So every word can be taken to the positive energy or the negative energy. And jealousy, and I talked about this with the Hebrew letters, how they are written, and how they're being said, pronounced, and how they're writing them. So there are two ways. We can take jealousy and we can go into the negative place where we are eating ourselves and we are creating negative emotions, negative energies between the couple. Or we can say this, okay, this is an opportunity. Why is this Why is this egoic self, the egoic need, is showing up? What in me can I shift? Because really, many times we feel we have this urge and need to change the other, to change what the other person thinks. But it's really, we cannot change anybody else. We can only change ourselves. We can only change what is inside here, from within. So when we are experiencing any kind of negative emotion or negative egoic space, what is the opportunity here? The opportunity here is, how can I change? But before that, what triggered me? What triggered me to put me in a place of this negative space? And so when there is this jealousy, I can take that and say, okay, what's the opportunity here? And then change that. Every negative energy has the upswing to it, or the counter, the positive. So we can take any negative energy and use it to create something good. For example, anger, for the most part, we consider it as negative. But also anger can drive. Anger is driving us to do things. It's like fire. So we have this, when you get really angry you feel like you're all anger. It's like when you hit the door on your thumb. Your whole body is a thumb. So when you have this anger, you're driving, it's like fire. And fire is the force that can change anything. And so, coming to this place of what triggered me, understanding, recognizes this is not who you are. So this time is to look at these situations, at these relationships. How was I in these relationships? How are you in these relationships that ended or still in the midst of it? So we'll listen to a song first, really talking about Jerusalem and the yearning, and if I forget Jerusalem, my right hand shall be forgotten too. And it's really in the Torah and Judaism, everything is also a metaphor. It's not just a straight, this is what it is, the story. It's everything is a metaphor to give us the access to the tools, to remind us of the tools that we have to better ourselves for ourselves in order to be better for others. So this is a song by Avihu Medina, and it is Praise Jerusalem, Shabbat Yerushalayim.
Elohai Zion בקרבך מרח בנית בקרבך מרח בנייך בקרבך הללי אלוהייך ציון הללי אלוהייך ציון שבחי ירושלים את אדוני הללי אלוהייך ציון שבחי ירושלים את אדוני הללי בנייך בקרבך ברך בנייך בקרבך הללי אלוהייך ציון הללי
relate to this style of music, but over the years it shifted. Many years when I was young, I didn't want to do anything. My parents come from Morocco, and so I was born in Israel, but my parents are from Morocco, and for many years during my younger years, teenager, 20s and stuff like that, I really did not connect to my roots or where I come from for different reasons, for different things that I went through. And it took many years to come to a place of looking at it as what is, without separating it from the attachments, the negative attachments that I had associated with that. But it took those years to come to this place of recognizing, of accepting, and of loving from where I come from, and seeing everything that happened today, of course, not at that time, not at the time when I was 20, because when we're 20, we're invincible, nothing can do harm to us. Well, funny. So it took many years to come to build the strength from within, to build the power back, to remember the power back, my own power, my own where I come from, and the experiences that I had, and to accept them and to embrace them with all those imperfections, because there is nothing perfect really except for creation and the creator, but we are perfect in our imperfections. Seriously, it is as simple as that. We are perfect in our imperfections, and if we are with somebody that cannot accept us in a sense of, okay, this is who I am expressing myself, who I am, they cannot, and there is something that bothers them or bothers you in others, many times it's something in you. Something in you, actually, it's all the time, something in you that is not sitting right, that just doesn't click with you. Something in that person, let's say, you know what, I don't want to get too close to you, you know, I don't want to go there, it's too, you're scaring me, I don't want to go there, you're too scared, or something like that, you are too negative, or you are, all these kind of things that many times are a reflection of who we are, because the person in front of me is a reflection of who I am. We are all mirrors. We're all tied together like the tree of life. We're all entangled, intertwined. So if you look at the Venn, if you know what the Venn diagram is two circles that come together and they co-create a viscous in the middle. If you look at that, each one of us is a circle, is a symbol for wholeness. Circle is a symbol for wholeness from the beginning of anything, of time, of creation. So we come together to co-create. We have an opportunity. We can co-create or we can co-destruct. Either or. We can co-create or co-destruct. So what are we choosing to do? So when we are in a more wholesome place, and it's always in relation to 5 years from now, because today I feel whole, but in 5 years I will hopefully grow and be in a different place. So then we can co-create. Now, here's the thing with this week's portion of the Torah. It's starting the book of Deuteronomy. But again, in the Torah, everything is there are four levels to looking at the Torah. There are four consciousness levels. There is, and in Hebrew the acronyms are Pardes, which means an orchard. So the acronyms really are standing for the Pshat, the story, what you read on black and white. The hint, the Remez. The Drash, the deep meaning to that. And the Sod, the secret or the mystery that has to that. So in this beginning of the portion, really, there is the story where what happened with Moses was dying, and just before he was dying, he summoned all Israel, and he rebuked them. He kind of criticized them for how they were, how they were during the times of in the desert, and how they, the things that they did not do right. And so the question was asked, well, why did he wait until he's dying to tell them, guys, you've been really, this is what you've been doing, this is not in accordance with our creator, with our creation, with the creation itself in general, with yourselves. So really there is here a great lesson. And also when he does talk to them, when he does bring up the criticism, he hints. He doesn't say, you remember what you did on this day and on this day, you did this and you did this and you did that and you did that. No. He actually talks in hints. So all the places that are mentioned in the book of Deuteronomy, they're not really places. Because it says he talked to them about this and this and this and that and all. And these are not really actual places, but these are hints to events that happen in certain places. And they're all in the letters, in the words. The hinting. So first of all, he waited until he was on his deathbed, really, to be kind to them, to not live with them throughout the rebuking stage. So if he would tell them that 10 years ago, so now 10 years, they know that they have been, that they have to live with this person who criticized them and really is putting them down. And then the hinting, anything that can be done in hinting rather than directness, it's much better, because it saves from the other person's, the person in front of us, it saves them the humiliation. And it's not necessarily that we say it in a humiliating way, but just we have, you know, sometimes a person has this need to criticize a person, and they want to say to them all these things. Well, one might, while the other person will put up an argument or appear to be strong, inside they're feeling crushed, they're feeling being put down, they're feeling looked down at. And this is today that I remember my contribution in relationships of doing such things, of there is this urge to succumb to this anger or this sense of justness, and to say this to the person. But really, when you can say something in a hinting way that does not cause, that is not an instrumental action, a word to cause the other person to be in a judgment place, they are being judged, they're being talked down, they're being put down. Now, some people will understand the hints, and some people won't. Well, if it doesn't, you know, it's very crucial and important in Judaism and in Kabbalah to say what is not right, or what is not considerate of the other person. But the focus is not on saying; it's on the way of saying. And so it is on the way of saying. How do we say this to the other person? I mean, look at in relationships. You are with somebody in relationships, and whether you are married for a long time or whether you just met somebody, whatever, you have this need to tell this person what you don't like. Well, first of all, again, like before, like you look at the other person, what you don't like. Is it an opportunity for you to look at yourself? But let's say we are still, I mean, you know, we are past the stage and we are in the moment, and how do we go about that? So it's a practice. It's a practice, and eventually the moment that you get triggered by something, until the moment that you realize that you are triggered, will get shorter. This is what I call trigger time, true time. The moment that you got triggered, until the moment that you realized that you were triggered. So at first it could be a day, then it would be half a day, 2 hours. The more you practice the awareness and the self-awareness of being triggered, it'll get shorter and you'll be able to practice how you say. So there are a couple of things that I will go over, like kind of tricks, if you will, but really helpful ways to handle situations when you realize that you're being pushed to the other side, to a negative space. So the hinting is hinting to give the other person the opportunity to want to change. It's not that I'm going to change the person, but I'm holding space, allowing that person to express themselves how they are or how they perceive to be that who they are. But with this hinting and with the way of talking is giving the other the opportunity, creating the space for an opportunity to grow, for the other person to want to shift, to want to change. Not because I'm telling you change now, otherwise I'll get my whip out. That won't work. That won't work. It doesn't work. It works with the way that we say things. So there are, you know. So here's a couple of things. Here are a couple of tips that I've used with a few people and in the line of work of helping people. So one thing, when we want to say something to somebody, when we want to criticize somebody, and this is coming from sages and Judaism, and it's very important on how do we say things. So when you come to somebody and you want to say something, start first with a compliment. Let's talk about your partner. You come to your partner. You compliment her, or you compliment him. You compliment her, and compliments are so important. Compliments are so important. I'm not talking about false compliments, right? Not stuff that is not real. Something that is real, that you notice about the other person. And you start with a compliment, and you say, thank you for what you are, for what you're doing, or for how you've been. The gratitude is automatically. Try to be angry when you're saying thank you. You can't do that really, right? So you start with you start complimenting your gratitude or compliment to the other person. And then you put in words, in gentle words, what you are experiencing. I feel that when this is happening, this is how I feel. Not you do this and you do that and you do this and you do that. And I'm raising both of my hands to say, I've done that. I have my share of doing these things in the past. And I'm today I'm looking at that and I'm sorry for any pain or judgment that came across. But I also realized that I had to go through this for an opportunity to grow from these experiences. So you start with a compliment. You say what you want to say to the other person, and then you wrap it with a compliment. No, you wrap it. It's like bringing a gift. You have the packaging, and inside you have the gift. You're packaging what you want to bring to the other person. Now, yeah, sometimes when we are in the moment, it's hard to do that. But it's a practice, it's recognizing. And if you have the right communication, if you have communication, period. Now, the right communication is the next step. The communication between you and your partner that is going to create harmony and balance. That you can talk about things without feeling that one is attacking the other person. Then you can set to yourself to do that. But if you know, sometimes it's hard to do, but there is the other thing. Here's another. So the first one, we have the compliment, criticism, compliment. You know, many people say that, oh, this is a constructive criticism. So if you say constructive criticism, the other person is not going to feel the human feelings of either rejection, judgment, all these kind of things. unless the person is really understanding where you're coming from and not taking things personally, most likely they either get hurt, they retract, they go back, they don't talk to you for a week because they don't, you know, all these kind of things. So compliment, criticism, and compliment. The second thing, if you see that if you're in a couple, you are in a partnership, and you see that it doesn't work, you have arguments, and you are saying something, and then she comes back and she says something, and the snowball grows and grows and grows, and make a choice that for the next 2 weeks there are no criticism verbally. There is no criticism verbally. You want to criticize something, you want to say something you don't like, something that the other person did, that this did, and all this kind of thing, do it in writing for 2 weeks. I'm not talking WhatsApp or text or any of that. That's nonsense. That is nothing. Like the old day, you take a pen, you write down. Write down what you feel. Write down. And so now when you're starting to write down, you're starting a letter. My dear wife, my dear... I mean, you are upset with this person, but you're still writing. Well, I mean, you're starting a letter, so you have to start it, you know, like you start a letter. My dear person, this is how I feel. And you put everything in writing. You are, what you're doing here, you are channeling the energy of anger, channeling any negative energy onto a paper. And the best thing about this is a paper is emotionless. It doesn't carry emotions. It just takes what you say, put it there. The other person is going to read it, and based on where they are, they're going to perceive what you wrote. But nevertheless, so this is why you are writing it down, and you write it down for yourself, what affects you, but you put it in paper for 2 weeks. And you say, well, this is an extreme. Well, you're going to the extreme. I said, well, yeah, you have to go to the extreme. It's like, think about a piece of paper. A piece of paper, when you fold it at the edge, you create a fold. So now the paper is folded and it won't go back to be straight. So if you want to straighten it up, you're not going just to straighten the paper up and leave it, because then it'll go back. You have to fold it all the way to the other side so it can come to the middle. So it's the same thing here. You do the extreme opposite for a little bit until you realize that it's working, and then you can come back now to the middle ground. So reclaiming your power is in your thoughts, is in your words, is in your acceptance of yourself, is recognizing who is you, what you are not, like thoughts, different negative emotions, and recognizing who you are and being thankful for you, for the other person, and for the people in your life. And believe it or not, those people in our lives that we have the most difficulty with are the best teachers of our lives. From there, we see the opportunity of how we can grow. Of what did this person triggered in me, so I can grow and I can become a better person for me. So I can be a better person for you and for the other. It was an exhilarating experience to be here today. I'm Ilan Azulay. I'm a spiritual mentor and an empowerment speaker for women and couples and who've been in a relationship or going through a divorce and want to reclaim your power. And many times in these situations, we lose ourselves. We lose our power. So on Facebook, it's facebook.com/bodysoulsound. And I will talk to you next Sunday. Shavuot Tov and happy week.
Lo yodea ma lomar. Lo יום שכבר נגמר אין לי דרך להשיב הסירי כעס מליבך ונסי למחול אל תקי ילד בקרבך שלך למרות הכל גם ההבטחה גם כוחה גם רוחה לו ראית את כף ידך על צווארי מניחה לא הייתי עוד מתבייש שביקשתי סליחה איש חכם היה נשמע